Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education regular public Board of Education meeting for March 20th, 2018. Call to order. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice this meeting has been provided by publication of the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the school within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Sam.
Mr. Balderman. Mrs. Bissell.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore. Mr. Hobbiter.
Here.
Mr. Loffredo.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren.
Here.
Christopher Black. Julianne DeGenova. Madison Reinhold. Olivia Easton. We have quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public, oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience, the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before matters placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied, the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. We recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of February 27, 2018. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for disclosing, discussing, and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes from February 27th?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Warren, any question on the minutes? Sandy.
Mrs. Bissell.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Abstain.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter.
Abstain.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Ward.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. Seeing no student board representatives, we'll move on to number 8, the presentations. And due to the impending and now inclement weather, the following presentations have been rescheduled to the April 17, 2018 committee of the whole meeting. And that would be the Teachers of the Month, the Students of the Month, ELK Teenager of the Month, Model UN Conference, and a presentation by the very exciting Rob Notley from New Road Construction. That brings us to number 9, our superintendent's report and information items. I will now turn it over to Dr. Cajun for that report.
To start off with our superintendent's report this evening, let's go to the pictures. There they are. Squanathon raised $145,000. It's another great example of our wonderful staff and student body, and I just can't compliment them enough for that particular night and all the hard work they put into becoming that night. And it was just another awesome experience where we had no difficulties.
We will have them here sometime in the near future to thank.
Yes, we will. Next, state champions. The Manasquan basketball. And I think that's just a great example of chemistry as I watched them play all year, and the whole idea of not being selfish as an athlete. Playing a group four school that has twice our particular population and doing so well, being a group two school, it just reminds us of the film Hoosiers, which we'll show right now. Let's go to the videotape to see Hoosiers. I'm only kidding. But if you've seen Hoosiers, it doesn't remind you of that. And I just can't compliment the girls enough for doing what they did. They're wonderful. And the coach, who's a good coach. Also, we found out today that the player of the year for girls basketball, as you see, was Dara Mabry. She's not here this evening, but I'd like to give
it's her second. Advice. Second in a row.
Second at what?
She got Gatorade last year, too.
5 years as state champ, state group two champs, and twice tournament of champion winners, I believe it was Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, 2012, 2015, and 2018 were the years we were in it, and won it 12 and 18, or 15 and 18?
Won it 12, 15, and 18.
We didn't win it all.
We were in it 17 all. We lost.
We lost last year.
All right, so we won it 3 years. I thought we only won it. They did a great job. Thank you. With that, our total enrollment, 1,526 as we speak. High school, 936. Elementary school, 590. In regards to our fire drill in the high school, February 9th, we had a lockdown drill. February 27th, we had a fire drill. At the elementary school, February 22nd, we had a lockdown drill. And February 28th, we had a fire drill. In regards to harassment, intimidation, and bullying for the month, no reports for the month in the high school, no reports for the month for the elementary school. District goals that we focused on. Everyone got the handouts on the electronic file regarding the accomplishing of the district goals. And the three goals that we had was focusing on the utilization of Naviance, which we'll hear a little bit more about tonight. A focus on personalized instruction, which we've done for the year, and the development of the Later Start Time Committee. Each one of the three you had presentations on this year. We had a wonderful committee that for the last 8 months focused on research for a later start time, which you did hear about, and they came to a conclusion that 8:01 was a great time to start for the students. All three of the goals were met, and you have data pertaining to the goals that were met on the portal. Are there any questions about the district goals that you had this year and the fact that you met them and did a great job meeting them, by the way? Any questions? All the documentation is online for you. Okay, and with that, I'm going to turn this over to the Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Mrs. Krensky.
Okay, to pick up on the personalized learning, Mrs. Graciano from the elementary school and Mr. Roach, our supervisor of humanities, and myself, we visited the Freehold Township School District. There are two elementary schools and one middle school to see how they were doing personalized learning and their STEM. We came away with some really good ideas. A lot of the things in personalized learning we were already doing. With the STEM, we got some great ideas for some resources, talked with our integration coaches, and Lisa Kokoda, our integration coach, will be visiting Freehold and meeting with their coaches to get some ideas for our elementary school. Our Brookdale early college program, we have an information night next Tuesday, the 27th at 6:30 in the Media Center here. Our honors exam for incoming freshmen for English, social studies, and biology has been moved because of the storm. We're going to do it next Tuesday. All the sending districts have been notified. Our elementary STEM camp enrollment is up. It's up to 40 plus students. And right now at the elementary school, the cognitive abilities testing for accelerated programs is going on right now, grades 3 through 7.
Thank you. Any questions?
Quick question, Ms. Krensky. So when you were looking at STEM at Freehold, mm-hmm. was that STEM as a whole for our entire school or the STEM program?
It varied according to the grade level and the school. For the most part, it was they did it two ways at the two different elementary schools. In one, the classes would come down to their STEM lab and their integration coach would work with them okay. on a project. He did say at times he goes down to the classrooms and does stuff. In the other school, it was within the class. And the integration coach and their media specialist collaborated, came up with activities, and then the teachers would bring their kids down. So this was elementary school. Cool. At the middle school, we basically saw the personalized learning.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes?
Could you please elaborate on personalized learning?
Sure. Okay, what the goal of personalized learning is, and we've talked about it in the district to figure out how that fits for Manasquan, it's driven by the student learning needs and their ability to master material, so that you develop different types of activities, teaching to a student's strength and whatever level they're at. Because we always try to get the student who's having difficulty to move up, but we don't think about the student who's at the top to keep them moving. So it's personalized in the sense that it addresses their learning styles and where they are at the learning process, so they can master the material and continue on.
So this is geared toward the student that might be struggling, as well as it's not.
Right. Yes, as well as.
As well as, yeah.
Right.
Good, good.
So it's geared towards all students. And, you know, there's all different strategies that you can use within the classroom to have that going on during, you know, within a class.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think it's like Montessori, where they all do it.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Now we'll hear from our Director of Technology and Human Resources, Mr. Place.
Thank you. Just one quick update for the board. Part of our plans going into next school year, we'll be looking at replacement devices in our one-to-one program for the students in grades 8 through 12. If you remember, a couple years ago, we got a grant for the 6th and 7th graders, so those devices are relatively new. But the devices, like the ones you have in front of you tonight, are in their third year of service this year, coming off of warranty and things like that. So we're trying to plan for next year to replace those, you know, that generation of devices. In doing so, I've recruited a few students from the high school, a couple teachers also from the middle school levels, not a huge group, but a few to form basically a focus group. So as we meet with vendors and look at devices and get some demo devices out, we can see what students like, what teachers like, and of course what works for us, you know, on the operation side. So that's going to be happening in the coming weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to make a recommendation to the board on what to do next later in the spring.
Now, when we talk about that, and as we budget for that, how far do you anticipate these next units being in service?
Pretty much the rule of thumb is 3 years, because typically the manufacturers will give you with them 3 year warranties, right? So if you try to extend it beyond that, the cost goes up quite substantially to extend the warranty. Mm-hmm. And the problems that we have with things like these kind of devices are, if you don't have a warranty, it can A, become very costly to replace parts, and B, the problem that we're starting to have right now, even the availability of parts is an issue. You know, currently we're sourcing LCD screens for these devices from like 4 different vendors, just because they're almost, you know, becoming very difficult to find. So the way devices are today, more than 3 years is just not a practical way to look at it.
And what happens with the 900 devices we have today?
Well, some of them are leased right now. So those coming off lease at the end of the school year will be returned. I think that's about 300 or so devices. The other ones, you know, that we own at this point. So a lot of them, you know, just from experience, when they get turned in at the end of the year, might be damaged. You know, so at this point, it probably wouldn't make economic sense to repair them, just because it would cost more to do that. The ones that are still in service, we certainly can use them for any number of things. We can repurpose them in other grade levels, you know, at the lower grades for class sets and things like that. That would be our first desire. You know, as long as they're usable devices, I don't see a reason why we'd want to, you know, dispose of them, you know, until they're not really useful to us. So
okay, thanks.
If the turnover was every 3 years, why not lease them across the board instead of buying?
Well, that's what I'd be recommending. So what I'm recommending for next school year is to enter into a 3 year lease. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, our Director of School Counseling Services, Mrs. Kenny.
So as Dr. Cajun had mentioned, Naviance was one of the board goals, and Naviance just recently came out with a new platform that they're going to be using. Right now, the platform that the parents go on is called Family Connection. In 2018-19, they're going to be rolling out something called Naviance Student, which they're saying is much more mobile friendly for students, because even over the past few years with Naviance increasing and the students using it more often, we're seeing them not necessarily log on. They want to be able to get it from their cell phones, use it from their cell phones. So Naviance is saying that it will be more mobile friendly, a more mobile-friendly experience to engage students on their mobile devices. So that will be very beneficial, because oftentimes we'll say, we'll bring up Naviance, and right now on their phones, it's not as easy to navigate. So that's something that should be really beneficial. In terms of the reporting for Naviance, I'm happy to say that at this point, we have 83.6% of our senior class which has applied to colleges, one or more colleges. Of that, 78.9% have applied to out-of-state schools, and the other 21% applied in-state. Currently, we have a few students that have actually gone in and accepted. We start to get those a little bit more into the spring. We have a lot of acceptances, but we don't necessarily know where the students have committed to going. So that really comes a little bit further down once the financial aid packages come in. Freshman for a Day program has been hugely successful. It was going to be a pilot program. We said that we'll start it off small, and within the first few weeks, we got a really big response. So we have one more date on the books, which is March 28th, where we have, I think, about 10 more students, and it's really been very beneficial. We've gotten really good feedback from the kids. They've done exit surveys as they leave. Next year, the goal is to make the program, you know, much bigger and start it earlier. Start it in the beginning months of school, September and October, when the students are really starting to make their decisions. So that's been actually really exciting to see. And then in terms of master scheduling and the transition to a new master schedule, we completed 3 parent information nights over the course of a week and a half last week. All of the students have met with the counselors prior to the information sessions. The counselors met with the students, and then since that point, the counselors have now been calling down the students to review the course requests, to input everything, to go through some final requests. From this point now, the request actually gets, you know, submitted specifically into Genesis, and then we start to create our course sections, and then that's where we actually, you know, start to create the master schedule. You know, just a little bit of background in terms of how we create it. You know, once we get all of the requests, we say, you know, say 100 students are requesting, you know, AP literature. That determines the amount of sections we run. Once we determine how many students are going to be asking for those courses, we then create the sections and input it into Genesis. And then we manipulate the schedule to make sure that the students are able to you know, get their choices, their one of their, you know, many requests. So at that point, like I said, we should be able to have some type of actual master schedule, conflict report, and, you know, information for students in the next few weeks. And then also our faculty is going to visit Nutley High School on April 11th, faculty and staff, to meet with teachers, to meet with students, to meet with administrators, to see how they've gone ahead and implemented the drop and rotate schedule. So that's in the coming weeks.
Thank you. Any questions?
You go first. All right, I was just going to say thank you. My daughter, my oldest, is attended Freshman for a Day.
Yeah.
And for those of us in the sending districts,
yeah,
who, you know, have never walked through the halls, or they came to orientation,
right,
but to really have that experience,
yeah,
I transported 6 of them from the Heights that morning, and they were all nervous wrecks.
Yeah.
And then it was so much fun to hear,
yeah,
them afterwards. And
it really was
a great experience.
It's been a really good experience to,
yeah,
see them. They come in and we have cookies and cake, and they don't touch anything, and then they leave, and then we see them at lunch, and they have a lot of questions, and we, you know, like I said, we did an exit survey, and their thoughts were really good. Some of them wanted to stay longer. We asked them about their specific, you know, pluses and what they would change and what they wouldn't. So it was really good feedback, and it was nice to have them in. So
yeah, it was great.
Question on Naviance.
Yes.
So I know that it's great that the seniors are using it to,
mm-hmm,
to apply for schools,
mm-hmm,
but we've talked before about, you know, getting more of the student body to use it,
mm-hmm,
you know, earlier on. Are there statistics, is there user logs and things that you can do analysis to see how many freshmen are logging in, how many?
Absolutely. The 6th, 7th, and 8th grade counselor across the street actually starts with logging on. She, I believe it's in 6th or 7th grade, she goes in and she would do the resume builder. So basically, throughout the course of the middle school level is when they start to log on, get that information, and then at least have exposure to it. I do think that we need to make more of a push to get the freshmen on earlier, whether it's during, you know, like a freshman transition program or however we can do that, because even the students coming from ascending districts, they might not have had the same exposure. Naviance is continually changing and their sequence is changing. We used to do the interest inventory for juniors, and now I believe we should really start doing it for sophomores. So there is a lot of information out there that we have to use, I think, at the younger levels. But mostly with the freshmen, I think we need to get them on and involved. But, you know, in what I've seen recently is that the students who are using it are the ones mostly for college, and it's because it's easy access for them. So we've had a lot of discussion groups with Naviance and with their representatives to say, how can you make it more user-friendly for the younger kids as well? So I think a lot of these surveys, a lot of these platforms, it's career interest inventory and learning styles. And I think they're going to be able to be done on their phone, more of a survey model, so that should hopefully help, because I do think we need to start sooner.
Okay. And you're tracking that?
So yes,
each
yes.
Year, so how many students are logging in any given month?
Yes, there's a report that we're able to run. I think it's updated every couple of months through Naviance. And the person who is our Naviance representative is the one that walks me through those. So I can get that information specifically. For the next.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. That concludes the superintendent's report.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report? Mr. Lofredo, second.
Yep.
Ms. Bassone, any questions about the superintendent's report? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to number 10, our public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time or recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of this meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer. She'll give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anyone from the public like to be heard on the agenda? Steven? Is it on the agenda? We'll hear you. Mic drop.
Dropping the mic.
Supposed to do that at the end. You're fine.
I'm Steven. Many of you guys have read my letter that I sent to Dr. Cation.
So you're Steven Spiker.
Oh, Steven
from
Spiker.
What? From?
I live in Brielle.
Okay, thanks.
Many of you guys have read my letter that I sent to Dr. Cajun about the schedule change. The schedule change will not allow me to, or will be tougher on me in order to get all my classes of physics, meteorology, stat, and calculus in order to get into higher level classes. And the sciences will also help me get into, like, pursue my career of aviation, which I would like to do. This will also affect my two younger brothers, who are not as academically excelling as I was when I came out of eighth grade, which I was able to go into geometry honors. That will be tough for them to go from all the way starting at algebra one, going all the way up to calculus if they want to, because they'll be skipping over pre-cal, which I feel like I excelled, and I would get a lot out of using pre-calc in order to go into calc next year. Also, the school lunch will also be very difficult. My letter had a wrong number. I apologize for that. I said there's 1,525 people. There's 938, and I recently just did the math, and it will take about 6 seconds per, like, there will have to be a plate produced every 6 seconds. Today in lunch, I was one of the last people in line, and my lunch is 3C. We start at 11:20, and I was out of the line at 10:35. I only had about 10 minutes to eat lunch. That's about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does anyone want to address Stephen's concern?
Sure. I would like to first focus on his concerns regarding his classes. Mm-hmm. And could you please address that?
Yeah. I actually had the pleasure of speaking with Stephen for a while a couple days ago. We came down. A lot of the classes that he was looking at taking, very specific to his major, he's looking at aviation and making sure that he's able to take the classes that he needs. Based on the schedule that I believe that we did, I sent you home with a copy of it. Most of the classes that he is looking to take, he certainly will be able to take. In that regard, he then brought up the fact that his brothers, depending on the math that they're looking to come into, correct, he doesn't feel as confident that they might be able to get to where that he is looking to go. They were where they are looking to go from, I guess, you know, the Algebra 1 level. To answer that question, you know, we've spent a lot of time with Mr. Murin, our math and science supervisor, and at one of the most recent parent meetings had specifically, you know, spelled out the sequence for it. So even though a student may not, quote, double up on a specific math for Algebra 2 and pre-calc, the course in essence is called Algebra 2 Trigonometry, which covers both Algebra 2 and pre-calculus. I've reached out to several colleges, and we spoke a little bit about this, you know, really, if there's a specific college you're looking at, making sure you call that college and ask specifically what they're looking for on the transcript and in picking your classes. And in that case, with the math, we wanted to make sure that if a student's specific transcript didn't say pre-calc, is that going to be harmful to them? I reached out to the GW rep, the Penn State rep, and the Rutgers rep. And they all came back and said, if a student's final course is calculus, they're not necessarily looking at specifically what courses they took to get there. Now, they certainly want to make sure those grades in those courses, if you took whatever math you took, you know, those were, very, you know, successful grades. But they weren't looking at the fact that it was an Algebra 2 trig versus pre-calc. So in that respect, students were able to, quote, you know, take the classes. So the way that we've been able to map it out for the current freshmen who may be coming in, they're still able to get to any class in math that they were looking to. In terms of your science, I certainly don't anticipate not being able to put you in the classes that you're able to go, you know, provided that we have enough students in each course to run those courses. Obviously, we talked a little bit about having a substantial amount of students. If you have two or three students that are looking for a class, you know, you have to determine whether or not you're going to run that class. But in terms of, you know, the actual courses that you're looking at taking, I see no reason why we're not able to offer them for you moving forward. So, and we had a lovely conversation, you know, to be able to speak, and I appreciate that we were able to have that discussion. So.
And to the lunch, did you want to address
sure.
that?
There are reasons why we're changing from the current schedule that we have. Every schedule is a good schedule. Schedules are made to focus on certain pieces of a student's learning, to accentuate that. What we currently have, the semester schedule, doesn't afford us what I feel is very important. And the two words that I've been using with everyone is continuity and mastery. Now, the sequencing of classes is very important to build a foundation for a student. One of the things we could not do here is that sequencing. So that was important to me. Affording the child, student, the opportunity to be with instructors that I feel are marvelous for the entire year, to get them to a point where they not only understand the material, but they can master it, is something that I wanted to do as well. So we needed a year long. Two of the concepts that we did touch on that I don't really think need to be spoken about is the fact that we weren't meeting state standards, and that's okay. I mean, physical education piece and the seat time was an issue, but that could have been solved many different ways. We looked at many different schedules. It's not something that we just decided to do overnight. I had Elliot Mirrenbloom here last year, who's the guru of building schedules, to look at our schedule, and I spoke to him about exactly what I was looking for, and he agreed. The schedule that we had wasn't giving us that. The one piece of the schedule that I thought was really not unique, but something that I didn't want to lose, was the block piece, because I believe that a student has to be in a class for a period of time in order for the teacher to be able to really drill down or to do a project or to give them time just not to get settled, but to work on certain concepts. From our research that we've been doing for the last 2 years, 60 minutes is that time. Came to a time for me when I had to chart out, map out exactly how much time we're going to utilize in this particular schedule. We ended up with 58, and there's a reason for that. I started with 60. The reason we ended up with 58 minutes, and still a block period of 58 minutes, and I had spoken to the staff, over 15 staff members, saying, is that enough time for you to get what you need to get done in the classroom? Definitely, yes, that's good, it's great. The reason 60 minutes isn't there and 58 is because one of the best pieces of the schedule is the 52 minutes that students have the opportunity to use during the lunch period, or the lab period, or in, it's being used in 60 different schools throughout the state of New Jersey right now, and more next year as they move away from the semester. They call it different things. But the reason I thought it was essential was because it offers us the essence of creativity. In that period of time, students can meet with teachers for extra help. They can meet with clubs. They can meet with their teams. They can eat their lunch and yet do something else for at least 40 minutes. There is actually a time which we're going to survey the student body and find out, are there certain classes that you would like to see run during that period? Because I really believe that students should have the opportunity during that time on the second floor, because the first floor is going to be used, to have a 40-minute class and get 2.5 credits. But I want those to be classes that we have expertise for, as well as that students want to take. So we're going to have that survey as well. That's the reasons why we moved to this, why I feel so strongly about this schedule. Now, you brought to us the concept of, can we feed everyone in a 52-minute period? The different time periods where student bodies are being fed range from anywhere from 32 to 60 throughout the state. It comes down to exactly how we're going to structure that time differently. We've given a lot of thought to this. We've sent our culinary people out to two different locations. The two locations they chose were Nutley and Wall to see how it was happening. And I just had a conversation with the owners of Culinary Delights. Simplified Culinary today. And they said to me, Frank, we don't really have to go out to anybody else. We just have to see how we're going to do it here. And I said to them, and they agreed, I don't want to have any more lines that are longer, and I want children to be getting the same service they get now, if not better. So there's going to be different locations that we have. Right now you have one location where you get hot lunch. You're going to have three next year. You're going to have different locations where you get a salad or a grab-and-go or a sandwich or a slice of pizza. There will be a food truck parked out there that they will be responsible to cook it. They're going to choose. They're going to show us this is what they want to use. We're also going to have 18 different tables set up in the cafeteria that'll be set up and broken down. The stage area that you see when you go in the cafeteria is going to be set up with different types of tables that they decided to do, sort of for seniors to sit at. And down at the home ec room, we're also going to set that up a certain way. You will be able to get the same service you get this year. And I'm, did I say the gym? Did I say 18 tables set up in a gym?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did say
cafeteria. You said cafeteria.
You did say cafeteria. Thank you very much.
He did say cafeteria. I was waiting for the gym, too.
It wasn't
I meant the gym.
Whoever said I said gym, I appreciate that. Now, if you count how many tables there are in the gym, in the cafeteria, we have 16 long tables and 5 round tables. We're going to set the same tables they have in Wall because they close easier and give us a lot of space in the gym. So there's going to be enough places for us to go and sit. And seniors in the are going to be allowed to go out to lunch. There's going to be a criteria. However, I think because of the quality of our lunches and how it's less expensive than eating out in town, that we're going to see that seniors end up being here because they're going to want to eat their lunch in 12 minutes and then spend 40 minutes with a teacher someplace getting extra help. So those are the reasons why. And I really appreciate the fact that you took a hard look at this and you asked some tough questions. I've tried to think about everything. And it's not something I just did yesterday. I've been looking at this for 2 years. And it's not the fact that the state said to us, we have to do X. We have to have physical education every day. And if I had physical education every day as a class now, you'd have 7 classes instead of 8. I want the students to have 8 classes. So the drop and rotate give us 8 classes. And as we demonstrated with the parent presentations we had, over 7,000 minutes for the year of instruction, which we don't have now. So I'm committed to it. And as I said, as the chief academic officer, I think it's going to give us great rewards at the end and afford us the opportunity for our students to master subject matter, which is big to me. So, and I really think a lot of our student body to do a great job. Okay?
Dr. Cajun.
You are welcome.
Stephen, the reason your letter was so good was because you didn't just voice your concerns and in a complaining fashion with no substance behind it, and you offered some solutions. That what you didn't know was that they had already looked, a lot of what you brought up in your letter were things that they had looked at for the last 18 months to 2 years. And if you had, it was almost like you wrote the letter 2 years ago and said, look at this stuff before you implement the new schedule, because you really, your letter was like the roadmap that they've been following. So I thought it was pretty interesting the way, from reading your letter after the fact and knowing and the research that they did, you touched on a lot of the key points, and that's why I thought your letter was excellent.
Dr. Cajun, I have one question. Passing time, did I hear?
3 minutes.
So going from 5 to 3.
Yeah, I've been walking all over the school. I've been watching those clocks right there in the hallway. Now afford students the opportunity to look up and say, wow, I better get to class. And you can see the halls are empty by the time.
Can they physically make it from A to B in 3 minutes?
Yes, they can. I can physically make it from A to B from the whole. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've done it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And if I find out they can't do that, which I'm positive they can, we'll make an adjustment. But I tell you what, our staff's understanding, they know it's going to be a transition, and actually, I don't really think it's going to be a problem. 3 minutes is fine, and the staff came up with that.
Our average school's running 3. We were just higher, or is the average school 5, and we're going down?
Yeah, depends on the size of the school, but I would think 3 minutes for this particular facility is fine.
Okay.
Every facility is different.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I had a quick question also with the lunch. Can I ask, or should I wait?
Why don't we wait until?
Yeah, all right,
yeah, because this is the public comment. Yeah. Would anybody else from the public like to be heard?
I have a couple questions.
Absolutely.
My name is Leah Wearing, and I'm at Manasquan. One of the questions I think you answered, you said your research is for about 2 years?
2 years. Mm-hmm.
Because after we had the parent meeting and you mentioned Nutley District, mm-hmm. I went online just to check out things. And what I saw was they had a 5-year, like gradual, they researched it. It was like 3 to 5 years, and then implemented it slowly, mm-hmm. from what I read. So. I guess my concern is it's not about change, it just seems so drastic. And, you know, I'm worried about, like, the errors that may come along the way and how that's going to affect the students.
The reason why I think Nutley did it that way is because I had an advantage here. The biggest change that occurs is when you take a smaller class period and you increase it. We already went through that transition. It's more difficult for a teacher to prepare correctly for a 77-minute period as it is to prepare for a 40-minute period. We currently, actually, it was a time when you had an 80-minute period, and it went down to 77 minutes, and now it's 77 minutes, and we're taking it to 58 minutes. That's where it's an easier transition than Nutley went through. Nutley went through, I believe.
They went from a traditional, mm-hmm. I believe.
Right, right, which was a 42-minute period to a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. And they needed that time to prepare their staff for it. We don't have to prepare our staff. Our staff already knows the different types of educational pedagogy they need to employ in the classroom for a long period of time. What they need to understand is now pacing is important.
That was my next question, was staff development. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as like changing the curriculum and adjusting so that students that are used to having such a strong focus and can, you know, do so well because they have four core classes they're worried about as far as homework or if they're in honors classes, mm-hmm. and now switching to AIM because the communication with homework load and things like that is an mm-hmm. adjustment. So
you're 100%
what kind of
correct.
Staff development has there already been staff development?
Our staff, our supervisors, and Barbara can focus on that, have been talking to the staff about this, and we're rewriting curriculum as we speak. This summer we have quite a few curriculums being rewritten, and I think it's the idea that teachers now have to get the feel of the pacing in their classroom. And don't forget, teachers are going from teaching 3 to teaching 5.
Right.
So that's going to be another adjustment for them as well.
And then just when we're doing the research, the committee that you used, what was the breakdown of how many parents were involved?
No parents were on the committee. We had staff was on the committee that they were looking at the schedule, and they went to several different schools out there, and Barbara didn't even talk about that with the committee. It was led by two of my administrators. And
so you have teachers and administrators?
Yes.
Okay.
And Elliot Mirren-Bloom was here twice or three times from Baltimore to come up to the train station for the meeting. He worked with the committee, worked with my administrators, and he finally gave us a final report on things where, you know, he talked about the schedule and what he saw us needing. So.
Okay. And then the last question is, will you need to hire more staff members? Like, what will it cost the district making a change like this?
I really wish I could hire more staff members because I want to have classes of sizes of 10 instead of what we have. And in fact, I spoke to the board about this 2 years ago. And I said, my intent is to build to a point where we can have our average classes at 15 or 16. I'm not going to have to hire class teachers. And Leslie can speak to that because you're doing the tallies as mm-hmm. we speak. But I wish I could say, look at you and say, yeah, I'm going to need to do that. And I can get approval to do it, but I'm not going to need to do that. We're not going to lose staff either. So.
All right, thank you.
You're very
well. Anyone else from the public like to be heard on agenda items only, please? Seeing no one, that brings us to our Manasquan general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 11 through 19. 11 through 19. Do we have a motion for items 11 through 19?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener. Second, Mr. Serino. Any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Fasone?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie.
And that brings us to the Manasquan Sandy District items 20 through. Still going. 20 through 34. Would anybody like anything separated out? 20 through 34?
Just number 21.
So let's just do 20 for now. Do we have a motion for item 20?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Vitale. Any question on item 20? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Hovner?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Do we have a motion for item 21? Mr. Baum, second. Mrs. McGarry, do you have any questions on item 21?
Yes.
I just will say respectfully before I hear your question, that the public hearing on the budget will be April 24th at 6 p.m., just so everyone's aware. Yes, Mrs. Baum.
Okay, so I know I spoke with Lynn before the meeting. I just wanted to make sure that this was, this is just to approve, have the county approve our budget, and that we will be able to add a line item so that we can complete our doors and locks for safety and security.
This is a draft.
Right, correct.
And we can add that.
We can add that. That's all I wanted to know. Great, thank you.
Any other questions on the budget? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes.
Mr. Patano?
Yes.
Mr. Palmer?
Yes.
Mr. Harbner?
Yes.
Mr. Libretto?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
And items 22 through 34, do we have a motion for 22 to 34? Mr. Warren, second. Mrs. DePalma, any questions on 22 to 34? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Harbner?
Yes.
Mr. Libretto?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to number 35, old and new business. Does anyone have any old or new business that they would like to bring to the board's attention? Mrs. DePalma, if you had a question about the schedule, now would be the time to ask.
Oh, okay. Someone had suggested, could we possibly use, since there are two cafeterias in the elementary school, the cafetorium for our lunches from the high school? I mean, the elementary school used to walk over here and have lunch with us.
Most certainly could.
Okay.
And that was one of the things I had thought about. Mm-hmm. And then meeting with Culinary Delights and speaking with them, they're... Is that correct?
No.
Simplified Culinary.
Meeting with Simplified Culinary. We discussed that concept. I met with the building principal, Colleen Graziano, and the lunches at the cafetorium start at 11:30. Our lunch period will go from 10:38 to...
11.
I'm sorry?
11:30.
10:38 to 11:30.
Okay.
So I discussed with her the possibility of us utilizing that from 10:38 to 11:10, and she said, yeah, you can even go to 11:20. Hmm. I said, fine. So then we sat down, and Simplified Culinary does not think, because of how we've mapped out lunches for next year, that they're going to need any other spots to do it. And they're the professionals, so I'll go along with them.
Okay.
So it's there if we need it.
Right. It's an option.
Well, we don't need it.
Good.
Any other old or new business? Seeing no one. That brings us to number 36, which are our second public forum on any items, agenda, or otherwise. From anyone from the public like to be heard? Yes, sir.
Jeff Fire, I live North Main Street, next to the lower field. I stopped by to talk to Dr. Cajun earlier this week, and he was kind enough to spend some time and show me the plans for the field and things like that. This was in response to the letter to the Co-Star, not the letter, the article. As you know, I've been before this board once before. We have, thankfully, Netzilla, which we are very grateful for. We have not had any damage to our house, cars, or anything since then, and we were very grateful for that. And of course, with this plan for the field, we have some concerns for our neighborhood. I've spoken to a few of my neighbors, and Ms. Bassone's one of my neighbors. And while we're not anti-sports, and we had this conversation, I think we do have some concerns for the field, quality of life in the neighborhood, parking, things like that. I had suggested there's that strip going out to Seagard Avenue that's been there for years. Mr. Raffetto, Charlie, he farmed there for many years, and then, 10, 15 years ago, they put in the, and I know they use it for the track, but it should be a nice spot to have for parking, just a suggestion. The first plan, we spoke about the 7-foot retaining wall. My only concern is that we have enough side setback from my property. General overuse of the field. Like I say, it's a quality of life issue for our neighborhood. I know you have your needs, and it's snowing outside, it's cold, and I have a lot of appreciation for each and every one of you who can show up here week after, month after month, and do what you do, you know. And I'm also like to, you know, I don't come to board meetings often. And as an educator, I'm very impressed with everything that's happening in this district. I went here 100 years ago. But I just wanted to take this moment to hopefully we can keep a dialogue and address some of these concerns that you might have, you know, if they come up. I know that there's some things you can't do, but mainly we want to kind of preserve pretty much what we have. You know, we're not asking to, you know, stop anything, of course, but we would like to, you know, just keep that in mind with the quality of our life in the neighborhood. Okay, and thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to be heard?
I'm Lynn McKay, 38 Gertrude Place in Manasquan. Just want to tell you that I'm really disappointed about the way we're trying to implement this new, I call it the ABC block schedule, and that it's been going on for a couple of years and no one's ever talked about it or had parental input. Is pretty disappointing. I got most of my information from a guidance counselor sitting in a corner table in this meeting or the Coast Star, and that was really where we heard about it first. And I feel so strongly that the change that I think has already been decided on is so bad for my child, probably not everyone's, but for my child, that I offered him the possibility of changing schools for his senior year. He's finally nailing every course and has straight A's, and he's going into his senior year, and we're gonna put him in 8 courses. And as a kid with an IEP, I haven't heard one person talk about the impact on those kids with IEPs. And I think it's being rushed, and I wish we'd spend some more time figuring out the little details before we rush into it, just to appease some people at the state level. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to be heard? Seeing no one, that brings us to number 38, since we don't have a number 37 this evening. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Mr. Cerrito, second. Mr. Palmer, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out in this